in the end of Parshas Balascha, which is this week's Parsha, there's a series of psukim that are very well known and are very significant in terms of Nevuah, and specifically the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah tells us at the end of Balascha, Perek Yudei Pasigala, Vatidaber Miriam Ba'aron B'Moshe. If you have a chumash, it would be helpful, to be very honest. Yudei Pasigala. Even the language here is also very cumbersome and very difficult. We'll just examine the language of the pasuk carefully. You'll see the difficulty embedded in the psukim. Vatidaber Miriam Ba'aron B'Moshe. That right away should arouse your feet, strike your fancy. Miriam and Aaron speak Bim Moshe. What does that mean? Translate that?
In Moshe.
In Moshe. Which obviously means what? About Moshe. Alodo so Isha Kushis Ashalokach. Moshe Aber married. And Isha Kushis. The Targum translates. He's not here. Itza Shapirta, a beautiful woman. But the literal translation, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu married a black woman. But the Gematria, Rashi points out, Yifat Mare, the pasuk says, as you know, as far as I'm familiar with this, Shore even Ova Benosi Yushalayim, black is beautiful. There was another expression a while ago, I won't get into it now, the United States. But anyway, so here, Miriam and Aaron speak against Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Al Odot. What kind of expression is that? Could you translate that? Al, you're the expert on Hebrew. Al Odot. Translate that? How would you have written that? They're speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu regarding this woman that he married. Al Odot Ha'isha Kushit. Could you translate that? Al Odot. What's the translation? Yoshua Nassim. Regarding, about, isn't that a funny expression? Al Odot? No? Doesn't trouble you? You in trouble. You are the man, the expert on the Hebrew language, on syntax, on philology. Kiisha kushis lakach. A lot of repetition here. Vayomru, and they say, Harakach b'moshe diber Hashem. Halogamon diber. Vayishma Hashem. What is the nature of their taina? They say, translate, Harakach b'moshe diber Hashem. Did Hashem only speak about Moshe? What are we, chop liver? Ever heard that expression?
Yeah.
What is going on over here? Halo gamboru diber. What is the nature of the taina? What's happening? Vayish Moshe. Vayish Moshe on the mode because of the Moshe Pnei Adama. Moshe Rabbeinu does not react because he is Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble, modest person on the globus. Further, Pasuk Dalet. I missed that.
We know someone named
Clovis. May Hashem bless you. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Hashem Pisom. What is the nature of that comment? And Hashem said, Pisom, suddenly. What's the nature of that? This entire parsha is absolutely, I am flummoxed by this parsha, by the language, by the syntax, by the philology, all the things I told you about a second ago. I'm sure you're troubled by it. Vayomer Hashem Pisom El Moshe Ve'Aaron Miriam. He says to them, Suk Shloshtechem El Olmoed. Three of you, go out. Vayetzu Shloshtam. Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Hashem Be'Amun Onam. And he calls Aaron and Miriam, Vayetzu Shneim, Vayomer. And now read the next series of Psukim, Vav Zayin Ches and Tes. Shimon Odvaroi. Listen. How does Hashem speak to Nevi'im? Bamare, bamare. Oh, slicha. How does Hashem appear to them? He appears to them. Bachalom, Hashem appears to Nevi'im. How? Through chalomos, through visions. That's regarding all the Nevi'im, with the exception of whom? Lo chen abdi Moshe. The whole basic name. How does Hashem speak to him? Pasuk ches. Pe'alteh adabebo, umare b'lo b'chidos. A direct conversation. Notice the B again. Why were you not frightened to speak about Bi Abdi Bi Moshe? Striking language. And then what happens? Hashem gets angry, and the Onan leaves, and all of a sudden, guess what? Miriam is afflicted with Tzaras. Vayifan Aaron Miriam, me name it so Ras. And Aaron says to Moshe, Be Adoni, Al Nos Hoshe Salenu Chatos, Al Nos Sikameis. And this is, of course, the shortest tefillah of the Chumash. Gemara and Brachis, Vayitzak Moshe Hashem Lemor. You know the Gemara and Brachis, Rafi. Kel, No, Refa, No, Lo. How many times does the word No appear here? Twice. Kel, No, please. Refa, heal. No, please. Lo, her. What a strange lashon again. What's going on again? They've got to speak lashon HaKadosh. And then we have what follows, but that's not, I can't discuss all the matters that I want to discuss here, because it would take me several hundred days. So what I shall discuss is another parsha. Take a look at Bamidbar, since you have Chumash in front of you. Some of you do. Look in Bamidbar. Actually, first in Dvarim. It's more important. In Dvarim Perach Abdalit, that's what it should be, I hope. In Dvarim Perach Abdalit, Pasuk, Ches and Tes. Chav Dalit, Ches and Tes. The Torah says over there, anyone here say the Shei Schiros every day? Wow, Baruch Hashem. Few tzaddikim, we have a lot of tzaddikim. Shei Schiros is something that one should try to say every day. So one of them is right here. Perach Abdalit, he says, Pasuk Ches and Tes. He's Shomer B'negat Tzaras. The Torah warns us regarding Tzaras. I'm not going to go into the details here. But the Pasuk Tes, Zocher is Hashem Asa Hashem Elokecha Miriam, Baderech B'tzeischem Mimitzoyim. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam. When did this happen? Where is this recorded, what Hashem did to Miriam? There's obviously a juxtaposition to Tzaras, the end of which parasha? Baloscha that we just read. So what did the Torah say? Remember, Zocher. By the way, Shei Zechiros, as you know, maybe tell me the difference between, there's also a, you undoubtedly remember. What does it say with Ephes Tarmolik in Bashas Kiseitse, the end of Kiseitse? Take a look at the, you have a Chumash, it's funny, so you can look at it. The end of Kiseitse, Perek Chav, Hey Pasuk Yud Zayin, the end of Kiseitse. What does it say? Zochor is Asher Asa Lecha Amolik. So tell me a simple dictum, since I turn to you, because I have no one else to turn to the yeshiva. What's the difference between Zohar with the Komatz and Zichar with the Shema? You're very into this. One, of course, is the imperative, the Tzivui form. How do I say if I want to say to someone, remember? What do I say to them? Zichar! What does it say regarding Shabbos, one of the Sheikh Shiros in Pasuk Yisrael? Excellent. Zohar, Zimah Shabbos Akachim. So what is that grammatical form as opposed to Zichar, which is the imperative, the Tzivui? What does Zohar mean? For example, who's the Kohen here? It says in Pasha's Nasa, we just read it. What does Hashem tell Aaron? Ko Sivarchu es B'nai Yisrael? Omor! Komatz! Similar to Zachar. What's between the Komatz form and the use of the Zichar, Shva? What does Shva mean? What does the imperative mean? Tzivui, remember! Is that what's happening here? No. Zachar, Komatz means a participle, which means ongoing zechira, ongoing remembrance. Not just a one-time tzibui that you should remember now, but an ongoing fashion. What does that mean? Amalek is an ongoing mitzvah. Mitzvah nimshechus. Now go back to the Miriam. In Kir Perach Abdal and Kisetze, Abdal Tes. The Chodesh of Rishenim over here, is this a mitzvah say? This mitzvah of Zohar, remember what happened to Miriam. Is this a mitzvah say? What does Rashi say? Rashi says over here, in Boso, the Hizor, Shalot, Tiloka, Bisaras. If you want to be careful not to be punished with Tzaras, Al Tisab Lashon Hara. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Remember what happened to Miriam? She spoke about her brother, and she was stricken with the goyim, with Tzaras. Mashma does not mean Saseh. What is Rashi telling you? Ain't some telling you the Mashma. Sounds like a good piece of advice. You want to avoid Tzaras, what should you do? Don't speak Lashon Hara. However, the Ramban counts this Zechira as a Mitzaseh. The Zechira for Miriam, the Ramban counts as a mitzvah say. He writes this in the Hosafos of Sefer HaMitzvos. Among the mitzvah say that the Ramban forgot to count. The Ramban has a mitzvah that he counted, and the Ramban says, you forgot to count X, Y, and Z. I say that with the Torah Telmian over here. X, Y, and Z. Among the mitzvahs, of course, the Ramban forgot to count is one of the most famous ones, namely, the mitzvah of living where? In Eretz Yisrael. So here also the Ramban adds this mitzvah of Zachar. So yeah, Machlokes Rishonim. However, what I'm interested in is the following, and I want you to tell me what exactly was the Lashon Hara that she spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we're interested in discovering. And that's very, very significant. And again, the question, of course, is that Miriam becomes afflicted with Tzaras. Let me ask you another question. What about Aaron? Doesn't the pasuk say about the daber Miriam ve'Aaron b'Moshe? So it's not just one person, it's both of them. So why shouldn't Aaron also be punished? And why is Aaron punished or not? So the Gemara says in Shabbos, where are you? Ari, right here. He's the Masechta Shabbos man. The Gemara points out Masechta Shabbos that, and this is mentioned here also in Bamidbar. Take a look at Bamidbar, you want to see it. Bamidbar. Perek Yudbeis. We'll get to Rashi in a second. It says, Vayichar Af Hashem, Bum! What does Bum mean? Dovi, Bum! Bum, 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 bum! What does Bum refer to? Hashem gets angry at both of them. So the Pasuk says explicitly, Hashem gets angry at both Aaron and Miriam. But who was afflicted with Tzaras? Only Miriam. Why? But what do they say? So let me read the Pasuk again for you. Harakach b'Moshe diber Hashem, alo gabono diber. And I put it to you in my kind of silly way. What? Hashem only spoke regarding Moshe Rabbeinu? Are we chopped liver? There's a guy in my shul who uses that expression on me all the time. What does that expression mean, are we chopped liver? What am I, just to be? What am I, just to be dismissed? What am I, a non-entity? What am I, non-existent? So let me ask you, what's the Lashon Hara? Where did they say anything about Moshe Rabbeinu? What did they say? They said that Hashem only spoke to Moshe. But really, he should, obviously, he speaks with us as well. Was that Sheker? It's not Sheker. Is Miriam a Navi? Does Hashem speak to her?
Yeah.
How do you know? Pasuk in Chumash. Namely, B'Shalach, we already passed it, so you can't say, you didn't get to it. Before Az Yashir. Vatikach, right after actually. Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah, Achos Aaron, the Torah calls her a Navi. Esatov Viyada. Remember that? Miriam, she's called a Navi. So Aaron is a Navi, she's a Navi. They're both Naviyim, so what's going on? Why is Hashem Ke'ilu, he speaks to us as well, not just to Moshe Rabbeinu. You might say to discuss it. Rashi in Shmos, by the way, says about Aaron. Where's that Rashi? Beginning of Shmos. Look in Perek David. Here it is, still here, Baruch Hashem. Perek David, Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Moshe al Hashem, Baruch Shivarim Anochi, Gam Nitzmo, Gam Shilshom, says Rashi, on the spot, Ari Sanaworth, Pasuk Yud, Bin Novi Hoya. Aaron was older, the Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, Klor Rashi. Chazal, Gemara in Tzaita, Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Navi, but so are they? So why is Hashem getting angry at them? Especially if they didn't say anything against Moshe Rabbeinu. What did they say? We're also the Navi. What's the problem? Yes?
I think you're in Sefer Chofetz Chaim that he says that she compared Moshe Rabbeinu to other Navi, even though he was on a higher level.
You should be sitting here, and I should be sitting here. Did you hear what was just said?
Yeah.
So on this, we need about 100 hours. What was just said, he says it like this, you know. Now, I do wish I could be like you. Let me just explicate this point. Do you mind? Or you have something additional to say? Go ahead. Am I Rebbe? Go ahead.
I heard Joshua once that there are other they're getting
Hashem's beating them
at that time, and they didn't separate from their wives. Moshe had separated from
Boy, them. Oh boy, you should be sitting in this chair too. So both of you should be sitting. We'll put two chairs here.
One for you,
and I will sit. I can buy two chairs, if I can actually. But anyway,
so they felt bad for Sipporah.
So let me now just expatiate about what you said. Okay? Do you mind? Do you give me rishus? Do I have rishus? Thank you. So Rashi actually mentions it over here, that Miriam heard that Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife. No longer involved in conjugal relations with his wife. At what point did that happen? At Matan Torah. Do you remember what happened at Matan Torah? It's a Gemara in Shabbos, actually, but better even a Pasuk Chumash. In Yisrael. Lechem Orlehem, Shuvu Lachem Yolechem. You can go back to your conjugal life. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yata po'a modi modi. You have to stay with Hashem is Barach. Moshe is now Dovuk with Hashem is Barach. So now, she comes. Miriam hears that Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife because he becomes a Novi par excellence in Maimon HaSinai. She speaks to Aaron. She said, what, Moshe Rabbeinu is a Novi and we're not Navi? Maybe we also should separate from our spouse. Miriam from her spouse, and Aaron from his spouse. Or should Rabbi spouse? Make sure they separate from both of their respective spouses. Okay, you want me to speak English properly to say that? I stand corrected. And that's what Tzipora also thought. Rashi in Babidbar, Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Aleph. That she thought Tzipora also Eldad and Medad. Remember those two Eldad and Medad? They're also, this is Parsha, they're also going to have to separate from their wives. They became the Nevi'im. The Chor is a correct Taina. What's the Taina? The Taina is that when the Torah speaks about Gdolei Yisrael, people are Kedoshim, there's no question we should learn from their actions. We should learn from the actions of Tzaddikim. I saw the name of the Chazon Ish, and the people actually, I think people enjoy this. Do you read the biographies of Gdolei Yisrael? Undoubtedly you do. If you don't do it, Rabbi Roblowski does it for you. So he reads them, and then he tells you over, and if not him, his father-in-law, Rabbi Tella Shlita. They tell you over about Gdolei Yisrael. The Chazon Ish said that the best Sefer Musar is to read about Ma'aseh Tzaddikim, to read about the behavior, the lives of great Tzaddikim, great Gdolei Yisrael. Obviously, stories that could influence us, that we could actually take Musar from. I remember when I was a little kid, I read a biography in Hebrew of the Vilna Gaon. It's called HaGaon HaChassid BeVilna. So it mentions that on Simchas Torah night, and I don't know how old the Gaon was at that time, honestly I don't remember, maybe they mentioned that in the story. I think it's, the author is Landoi. I don't know if you read that, maybe not, but I think it's in English also. And the Gaon on Simchas Torah night took upon himself apparently some sort of a Kabbalah to learn two Masechtas. And he learned them and finished them Simchas Torah morning. What two Masechtas? Zvachim and Menachos. I read that as a kid. I said to myself, I'm throwing in the towel. That's an expression. What does that mean? I give up. He learned Zvachim and Menachos the whole night of Simchas Torah. What am I able to learn the night of Simchas Torah? Halavai 5 Pesukim and Chumash. I thought that wasn't a very realistic story. The Gaon was a genius. He learned Zvachim and Menachos. I'll tell you another story. They say over, about Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather. That once he went into a building that was on fire, a house, because there were two young children there. He ran into the building to save the two young children. Wow. So, what did I say to myself? What was the nature of the sakana there? Am I allowed to put myself in sakana, put my life in danger, even to save someone else? Of course not. Pikuach nefesh is not a kol hatzor kula, but it has to be a sakana that is, what you call it, rafi, realistic, where I could save my life as well. But if the sakana is minimalistic, then obviously that's what you're supposed to do. So we're supposed to learn out from Ma'aseh Tzaddikim. Okay, so now we'll go to the parsha and basically say over what they pointed out, both of you, beautifully. But shall we say, with a bit more fleshing in, a few more details, if you don't mind, I apologize to both of you, but I will flesh in a few more details. Essentially, what the Chafetz Chaim says is found in Or Hashanah. The Ramban, the Drash Saran, and about 10 other Rishonim. That's what they point out. But the one who really says it is, of course, the Ramban at the end of Tumas Saras. Famous Ramban. Ramban said the Chet was not Lashon Hara per se, but to compare themselves to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is absolutely unconscionable. But that's the whole discussion. And the discussion is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, how do you know that a Novi, let's say, he doesn't carry out the Nebuah, he's supposed to carry out. What's the din? Novi Shekavash Nebuahso, it's a Mishnah. Chayimisa, it's Chayimisa with the Shavai. If he doesn't carry out the Nebuah, that Hashem tells him to carry out. Because the Novi is a Shaliach. He has to carry out the Nebuah. How do you know? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Amos, but the Navi says, "Ki lo yase Hashem elokim davar." Hashem does not do anything regarding the Nevi'im. Ki im gila sodo el avad ha-Nevi'im. He tells all the Nevi'im, contemporary Nevi'im, all are aware of each other's missions, so they know what you're supposed to carry out, what I'm supposed to carry out. So even though they're not the ones who delegated to carry out that mission, it's another Navi, but they're aware of it. So now, based on that, the pasuk says, "Vatadaber Miriam va'Aaron b'Moshe." They speak against Moshe Rabbeinu. You separated from your wife. We're also nevi'im, and we never heard of such a nevuah. We're contemporaries of yours. We should have been aware of this nevuah based on that Gemara Tzadibin. So what's the answer? You are right. There's one exception. Whose exception? Moshe Rabbeinu. Sorry?
Gemara didn't exist yet.
There's one exception to that rule, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. He is not in that category. That's what the pasuk says. Pel pe adaber bo umar v'lo b'chidos. You, Miriam and Aaron, are like all of the Nevi'im. Bamarei lo b'svada v'chalom adaber bo lo chein avdi Moshe. Of course, as Avi said correctly, the Pasha was not yet written in the Torah. He said it differently. He spoke about the Gemara. One second, but the Pasha was not yet written in the Torah. So how is she supposed to know that? The answer is she should have known it is Svara. By the way, the Gemara says many times in Shas, Lama Likra, Svara. Remember that Gemara? Brachis, Iksubis. Number of times in Shas, a Svara is stronger than what? Even in the Pasuk. So they should have known it is Svara. Because Rav Shimchkov writes that, why is the Svara even stronger than a Pasuk in Chumash? Because how do I know that I'm supposed to be Mekayim a Pasuk that's written in the Torah? The answer is, a Svara! A person who has hot abyssal seichel, you know you have to carry out the mitzvah of Hashem, so that itself is a Svara. That's what Shimchkov says to explain why the Gemara says, Lomeli Kura Svara, who is even stronger. Whatever the case is, Miriam should have understood that even though she's a Navi and Aaron is a Navi, however, Moshe Rabbeinu Dafke, he was chosen to bring Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and obviously his Nevuah is of a totally different nature than that of Miriam and Aaron. So you get what's going on here? So there's a conversation, a dialogue, and this is what, one second, this was their chet. The chet was, as you mentioned, by the Chavetz Chaim, but it's not the Chavetz Chaim, it's a Ramban, it's a Ran, it's a Drashas Mari Mitz, it's come out all the Rishayim, Pe'achod. The chet was, Shehishvasel Vashan Nevi'im, they compared Moshe Rabbeinu to all the Nevi'im, and that was something which was absolutely inappropriate. Okay, so this is by way of Hakdama. Go ahead now, you want to say something?
Miriam then knew she was doing something wrong, saying Lashon Hara, and she did it anyways?
No, Rashi learns the issue is Lashon Hara. According to the Rambam, it's not Lashon Hara. The issue was that she didn't understand the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu Nevuah. She thought that her Nevuah and Aaron, her brother, were the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu.
If she did by accident, why did she get Torah?
Excellent kasha.
Excellent kasha.
So the Lashon Rambam, maybe I can borrow the Rambam. The Rambam actually is very fascinating here. In Tumas Saras, of course, probably will be the last Rambam that I chose, because that's the Gemara in Erechim. Atechon tachas yisurin, the Gemara says. That statement was absolutely... One moment, please. The Rambam says here in Tumas Saras, I'll read the Lashon Rafi. The Rambam says, he's talking here about, it's a perek tazayin of Tumas Saras halacha yud. So the Rambam says over here, he's talking about Lashon Hara and the like. The Torah says, Yishama Benegat Saras. Harei Omer, the Torah says, Izbonu Ma'ira, the Miriam and the Bia. What happened to Miriam? She spoke about her brother, and she was older than he was. And not only was she older, she put her life in Sakona to save him when, if you remember, the Moshe Rabbeinu was, the story with beginning of Shmos. What happened there?
In the basket.
In the basket, correct, in the bulrushes. And she did not, he lo dibra bignuso, said the Rambam. She did not speak Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela to'asa. She made a mistake. She ishvasel l'sham nevi'im. V'hu lo hikpid. Moshe Rabbeinu was not makrit. She never reached Moshe Rabbeinu. Yav became miyad nitshav tzaras. So the Rambam says she was punished because even that she should have realized Misvara was inappropriate. It wasn't g'nai. Lashon Hara means g'nai. When I speak g'nai to a person. When I speak, how do you say g'nai? When I speak badly about someone, chas v'sholom, that's Lashon Hara. She didn't do so. But even that which he said, which comparing Moshe Rabbeinu to Shaar Nevi'im, was considered to be inappropriate. And for that she was given Tzaras. And the Rambam has a long avichus. But it's not, the kasha you ask is that she's not chas v'sholom and apikaris, God forbid, achman l'tzlan. That's not the case at all. And she made a mistake, and that's exactly why Rashi says she was in effect given the punishment that she was given, because it bordered on a kind of Lashon Hara, which she should have been recognized and should have realized what's going on here. Now, I want to now just go on and discuss actually another matter, which is also related to this same issue. There is a Chazal, the Chazal comment, and you know that, the end of Bamidbar again. Look at the end, what happened? V'yom lo nasa, she's afflicted with tzaras, and you know, Mitzar has to go mikutz shalosh machanos, but they don't travel till when? Till she recovers. Because that's the, why is that so? Why don't they travel till she recovers? So what did Chazal say? She was given a schar. What was the schar? The schar was, she was the one who, and the way that Rambam alluded to over here, when Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the Nile, the schar is what? She was the one who sort of was malab in Moshe Rabbeinu while he's in the basket, in the bulrushes, and she was the one who called Eshes, to be the meinika, to be the nursing mother for Moshe Rabbeinu, was a little kid, etc., etc. And so now she gets a schar, Klal Yisrael has to wait till she recovers from the tzaras. The question is, why dafka now? Why dafka now, when they punish Miriam for whatever lashon hara she spoke, suddenly they remember the schar from the time that when Moshe Rabbeinu was a little babe in the basket, in the bulrushes? Ma kesher, you hear the question? Why suddenly now? Does this come to the fore? So there's a famous Gemara quoted by Rabbi Sol Salant. You are familiar with Rabbi Sol Salant? He's the founder of what movement?
Muslim
movement, which is in this yeshiva, Baruch Hashem. Many people study Muslim, which is a good thing. A very good thing. Rabbi Sol Salant once took a sum of money in his hand. He's about to leave his house. He asked him, where are you going? He said that I have to bring the money to a great Talmud Chacham. The money belongs to him. They said, why are you, Dafka, bringing the money yourself? You're leaving the city to go visit him and give him the money when, in effect, you can send a shliach, send it by FedEx, or however you decide to send it. Why do you have to go yourself and bring the money? So he said, I want to give that Talmud Chacham to Echocha. What does Echocha mean? Musa, rebuke. Because he did something that was inappropriate, that was improper, and therefore I want to be dovek in the midas of Hashem Yisbarach. Namely, I want to show the Talmud Chacham kavod by going to him directly, and then at the same time that I'm going to what, give him musa. They asked him, what's the market for that? So he said, I'm Gemara Yevamos. 1 second, let me finish the Gemara Yevamos. And I'm Chesim Abayz. The Gemara says over there was a famine in the days of David Amelach, 3 years. 1 year after the next, David asked Hashem, why did the famine come? Hashem answered, El Shol V'El Beis Adomim Al Asherhem Yisra Givonim. I don't know if you learned Tanakh and Shmuel Beis, where David HaMelech actually killed out all the Givonim. And so, the Gemara says, El Shol Shalom Yisra Kalocha. They weren't mass betrayed properly. El Beis Adomim Asherhem Yisra Givonim. You know, Shol was killed by Kiddush Hashem in the war against the enemies of Hashem. David, of course, gives him a hesped. And there you see in Shmuel Aleph, Paraplamet Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, Anshi Yavish Gilad, that they fasted 7 days, but not all Kali Yisrael were masked Shol HaMelech. They should have been masked him, all of Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't do it. So Hashem was Tobeah, the covenant of Shol, but also Hashem is Tobeah at the same time, El Beis Tadomim, El Hashem is Givonim. Shol actually did something that was inappropriate to the Givonim. He killed them out. So Hashem now comes with the Tzviya to Kali Yisrael, also regarding this matter. Says the Gemara, what's going on? What does one have to do with the other? One thing, Shaul was not eulogized properly. And then the second thing, that he killed the Givonim. How's it possible that Mitzad Echa were worried about the cover of Shaul, and Mitzad Sheni with Tovea and Aver that he did? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tzvanya, where the Navi says, Bakshu es Hashem kol am ve'aretz, Hashem mishpato polo, Bashem mishpato shom polo. What Rashi says over there, B'mokom shedonim nesodom, the place we judge a person, that's where we remember as well the good things that he did. So when Hashem decides to be manish, to punish for the avera that Shaul did, Hashem also is tovea the covenant of Shaul HaMelech. So Rabbi Sol Salant said that if he has a tainus on that chacham, but he also has to show him b'shasto chacha kavod, because he's certainly deserving of kavod. That's a principle again in general. The Gemara quotes here in Yevamos b'Hashem mishpato shom polo. Okay, so the reason why I'm saying all this is again that we find such a concept actually a number of times in Chumash. I'll just give you another example of this concept and then you'll say what you want to say. And that is, if you remember, when Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim and he's an Eved, he was bought by the Ishmaelim. So remember what Rashi says, the famous Rashi in Bereshis Lamed Zayin Pasuk Chafei over here. It says that Gmaleim Nosim, what were the Ishmaelim carrying? Nechos Utsri Valo. What are they? Spices, but what kind of spices? Very aromatic spices. Rashi quotes it here. Why does the Torah have to tell us what they're carrying? Who cares?
Usually they carry tar.
That's right. Usually they carry, as you said, tar and what else? Things that are malodorous. Reichon ra. And dafka here, besamim. Why? In order that Yosef should not be in any way harmed by a reich ra. So the question is, what? In order that Yosef should not be harmed by reich ra, it would be enough to, shall we say, bring people who would, shall we say, carry some sort of a schora which has no reich. Let's say they should carry, I don't know, like the often people do here, they carry stones or wood. So why does Hashem have to go and give Yosef this schar dafka now? So of course the answer is that not every day does Hashem send to Yosef to summon. Apparently here also, the same idea. Hashem is judging Yosef because what did he do? Why was he sold to slavery? Because he said, Lashon Hara about his brothers. Vayavi Yosef is Dibasa Royal Aviyem. So now Hashem decides on the same day that he's judging Yosef for Lashon Hara that he said about his brothers to their father, now is the time to also give him schar for also for his righteousness. The same you saw the idea. Okay, but anyway, all this I'm saying for another reason. I'll get to it momentarily. Yeah, what do you want to say? I always say that I'm better than a soporific. Soporific being a sleeping pill. Because a sleeping pill takes a few seconds to work. And I seem to work instantaneously. That's the Milo of a Rav. Would you not say so? Thank you.
Some good coding.
So I want to make the following comment now, which I think is also very much in place. And I want to do this because here we have three personalities who became, each one in their own right, great individuals: Aaron, Miriam, and of course, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone in this room has the capacity to become not just a Ben Torah, not just a Talmud Chacham, but even a Golda Bat Torah. I honestly believe that. And I'll explain to you what I'm talking about. Chazal say, Ein lecha davar ha'omid b'fnei ha'ratzon. Nothing stands in front of what? A person who has a desire to grow, as all of you do. And not every Golda B'Yisrael was born with a brilliant mind. You are aware of that. Many of them had brilliance, but all of them displayed one thing: toil and persistence and amola shel Torah. There's no way what can become a Golda Bat Torah without amola, without toil. What word did you use before? Yes, tedious. That's a good word. He asked me about Tagamunculus. I told him I grew up with Tagamunculus. What do you mean you grew up with Tagamunculus? My father showed me to learn 30 hours a week Tagamunculus. And I was a carbon. I was a part of it. Most Gedolei Yisrael, many, I should say not most, many were brilliant, but all of them did not become Gedolim without incredible, tedious toil and amola. And I'll tell you about one of them that I'm always very fond of, the Maram Shik. If you remember the Maram Shik, he was one of the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, a very famous Talmud. And as a young boy, he toiled diligently, and however, he somehow didn't get it. It didn't go in. I'm sure you never encountered that. You probably are an Ilui. So, but I'm not Zechet to such Iluishkeit, and sometimes it doesn't go in. You, it's a rare basis. Me, it's an ongoing basis. His mother would tell him to go to sleep, and this young child continued to study until he physically could not go on any longer. The next day he came to school, what do they call it? Cheder. And when the Rebbe would ask him who understood yesterday's lesson, his hand never went up in the air. He reviewed and reviewed countless times and somehow didn't go in. And he seemed to have no understanding, no havana in what was going on. But his parents were mechazikim, and they supported all his efforts at mastering the shir. And one night, the mother saw her son, the Ram Sheikh. He went to sleep crying. He was simply frustrated. And she told her husband, look how hard he works, Rav Moshe Shik, look how hard Moshe works. And somehow he's not getting it. And do you notice he never smiles? He's always sad. And the mother just broke down over the fact that her child, who was toiling so hard, was not able to understand the Gemara, whatever it may be. But the father was certain that as a result of that hasmada that he developed and displayed and nurtured and cultivated, no doubt in his mind, his son would become an outstanding Beit Torah. And there was an incident, this is, by the way, the story is quoted in the biography of Sam Sofer, that's how we know about this whole discussion. It's a true story regarding the Rav Shik, Rav Moshe Shik, and actually he was, as I said, he was an astounding personality. But at one point, again in class, on an ongoing kind of basis, the following story takes place, and it's actually founded on something here in Chumash, but the Rebbe asked the question, I'm not going to go through the question now, but the Rebbe asked the question, and the class was dumbfounded, they couldn't understand the question. The Rebbe said, does anybody understand the question? So one of the students screamed out, laughingly, Moshe Shik, ask him. Of course, it brought the house down. They understood very well that they all erupted in laughter. How could he understand the question? What a joke. However, the Rebbe didn't laugh. The Rebbe was shocked. Because here, they had embarrassed this young man publicly. Not only did they embarrass him publicly, he felt the pain that this young man had. And they looked at the Rebbe's face, and the student who called out, what he called out, was filled with unbelievable regret, with shame, and the entire classroom became still because he had a pin drop. And the Rebbe closed his Gemara and started shaking back and forth. This is a story that's written down. And the children looked at the Rebbe incredulously. What's going on here? What happened? They feared that he had lost it. And the Rebbe said to them, you're all Hashem's children. Every Jew is a beloved child of Hashem. He said in the Pasuk, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. And the Gemara says, not just Banim, Banim Ahuvim, we're all beloved children of Hashem. We don't understand. One young man may be blessed with a very acute mind. Another person is not. One is destined for great wealth. The other one for poverty. One thing is certain. Whatever Hashem does is for the good. Hashem does that which is best for each one of us, individually, and for Klal Yisrael collectively. No different from a loving parent who gives a child the very best that's suited for that individual child. So he said, how much pain, he said this in front of Moshe Shik, how much pain did he experience when a brilliant child, the one who humiliated him was a brilliant child, Rahman and son were all guilty. And then he started crying out of control. And the Rebbe said, I don't know what tshuva I have to do because such a thing happened in my classroom. And we all have to do tshuva. And right away, Rav Moshe Shik said to the Rebbe, Rebbe, don't worry. It was only a joke. He didn't mean to hurt me. He didn't say it in any serious kind of way. And now the child who humiliated Rav Moshe Shik started crying hysterically. And they all realized they have to do tshuva. And the Rebbe said to Rav Moshe Shik, I have no doubt you're going to become one of Gedolei Yisrael. And sure enough, Rav Moshe Shik continued to toil and to do Amala Shel Torah many, many times. And he became one of the greatest students of the Sam Sofer. Do you know who else quotes this story? Another one of Rabbi Roblowski's favorites for him. Orchos Yosher by Chaim Kanievsky. One of the Gedolei Ador, Tzadiki Ador, he quotes this story from Moshe Shik. But he only alludes to it. The one who really quotes it is his father. The Stipler Zatzal. In the Chai Olam, you're probably familiar with that sefer. It's on Rabbi Roblowski in the library that Rabbi Roblowski has in his table. There's a Allah Svarim Yeshiva, and then there's Rabbi Roblowski's library. It's a separate library. It's a Sifriya. So the Chai Olam of the Stipler, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's father, he tells all the Barichus story. And I say to you, Bani Mahuvin, beloved children of Hashem Yisbarach, all of you, collectively, individually, do you know what you have done in the course of the year? I look at you now, and I remember some of you at the beginning of the year. Are you the same person that I saw at the beginning of the year? What did you undergo? Did you have a surgery? A surgical transformation? No. You know what you have? Eish HaTorah! The fire of Torah is the most transformative and most powerful koach imaginable. You not agree?
I agree.
And look what it did. We have in front of me outstanding Bnei Torah. Budding, flourishing, prospering. A man is a bucky in Dikduk over there. He's asked me a kasha. I don't know what to do with it. I'm going out of my mind for the last few weeks. I have a mahalach, but I don't know if it's correct. I'll be Dikduk, and I have to see. I'm trying to get a hold of Rabbi Levinsohn Shlita so I can check to see if I'm right or wrong, because it doesn't fit. There are a lot of exceptions to the rule. You have caused me, literally, sleepless nights where I'm not functioning. And as a result of you, to my, shall we say, to my wife's chagrin and to my benefit, I've drunk loads of coffee. So, Baruch Hashem, unbelievable growth. And it's just going to continue. So if Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevi'im Shein Kamo, what does it say in our Parsha? You tell me the pasuk I'm looking for. If you could answer this, Dovi Shlita, Eldo Remeidah, Misnab Mamachanet. So what does Yeshua say? Vayan Yeshua Benun, Misharis Moshe Mikura Vayomar, Adoni Moshe, Klaim! Klaim means what? Stop them in the tracks. How do you stop them? Make them Rosh Yeshiva. That'll be the end of that. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu responds. What does he say, Moshe Rabbeinu? Hamikani Atoli. What, are you jealous of me? Umi Yitein, Kolam Hashem Nevi'im. Halavai that every Jew should be a Navi. And I say about all of you, halavai that all of you should be Tamidei Chachamim, Bnei Torah, and halavai Gedolei Yisrael. And it can happen. Who does it depend on? You! 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 Mercy of the Zara, Babalas Vendurya, Hakol Talui Becha. So the question is, how much do you want to become a Bentar? What's the answer? Do you want to become a Bentar?
You're after
it. I understand that, but I'm asking you a question. Do you want to become a Bentar? Of course you do. Do you want to become a Tamil Chacham? Do you want to become a Gadol B'Yisrael? You can do it.
Can I do it?
My Rebbe asked the question whether he could do it. If anybody could do it, this one could do it. Besides his intellectual acuity, besides the fact that he's Dovik and Tamil Chachamim, he learns with my Rebbe. I don't get to learn with him, and he does. He learns with the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva. The Mashgiach will not learn with me. He thinks I'm hopeless. Hopeless and hapless. Of course you can do it. Ain't shum suffik. So I'm going to give you a bracha. The Gemara says in brachas, "Al ten brichas hedyot kalav einecha." The bracha of a hedyot of a simple simon should not be simple in your eyes. I mispalel with all my heart that every one of you should become not just a ben Torah, not just a tam chochan, but a halavai, a gadol of Yisrael.
Amen.
Amen.